on this episode of Still Loading, Super Smash Brothers. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to this episode of Still Loading. And for this week's episode, I decided to cover a little bit broader of a topic than I normally cover. As you guys know, for the regular listeners, you'll know that I usually cover individual games on each episode. Periodically, I'll try to cover like game history types of topics. But this episode, I'm going to kind of do a little bit of both. We're going to cover a series, and for those who can't read the title, it's Super Smash Brothers. Or actually, hear the intro. But in any case, we're covering the Super Smash Brothers series today. And by we, I mean I have invited my friend Ben. Ben, say hello.
Hello.
So I invited Ben on here because he is one of the most knowledgeable people that I know about not just Smash Brothers, but Nintendo everything in general.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I feel flattered.
So I guess let's just start this off. Let's just talk about your history with Smash Brothers. Like, when did you start playing it? I know you said you've played it a lot, but let's dive into that a little bit.
Okay, so the first time I played Smash Bros., this is the stupidest thing ever, was at a McDonald's in a Walmart back in like 2002 or 2003.
That's already the best story I've ever heard. Keep going.
They had a Melee set up at like this little kiosk there, and I had absolutely no idea what this game was. I had never heard of it before. I'm like, I know Mario, I know Yoshi, I know Bowser. I'm like, who the fuck is everyone else? So I picked Bowser, and my sister picked Yoshi, and I know we went to the F-Zero stage Mute City, and I think we fell off the road a bunch and died. I didn't understand it at all.
I'm amazed you fell in love with it out after that initial reaction.
At all. I didn't play the game again for like another 5 or 6 years.
Holy, that's an awesome like first experience. I mean, well, not awesome for you, but I love hearing stories like that about how like the
just like how random and off the wall.
Yeah,
that is.
I love that. So then you picked it up 5 or 6-ish years later, and so what made you start playing it again?
So, when I was a geeky fifth grader, I would read about upcoming games on the Mario Wiki. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing images from Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and again, having no idea what it was. But the art direction of the game was very intriguing to me, because, like, if you look at, like, a picture of Mario in Mario Galaxy versus his official render in Brawl, it's, like, very detailed. Like, the denim has, like, a detailed texture to it, and, like, it's very dark shading and stuff. And I was like, wow, that looks really, really awesome. So one of my friends ended up getting it for his birthday, coincidentally shared a birthday with me. We played it at his house for 13 hours straight.
Dear God.
Yeah, that was my first actual experience with Smash. That was Brawl, and I played as Bowser, I think, the entire time.
One of the heaviest characters in the entire world.
Yeah,
slow
really?
As hell, but powerful as hell, too. That's interesting, though, because that's interesting that you started with Brawl. Brawl was interesting, especially just because it was one of the I think it was the first Smash to introduce non-Nintendo characters into the mix.
Yes,
right.
It Sonic and Solid Snake. Snake from Metal Gear Solid and Sonic from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Was there anything
I don't think
else?
We had either character unlocked that night. So.
And Snake ended up being... I actually really like playing as Snake in that game, surprisingly enough. He was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I love playing as him. He's a lot of fun.
So then, I guess to kind of spoil the end of... Not really the end of this, but let's just cut right to the chase. In your opinion, what is your favorite Smash Brothers? Smash Bros. Game.
I flip-flop a lot between Melee and Brawl.
Okay.
I'm torn between which of those two is my favorite. I would make the argument that I think Brawl is, from like a more objective stance, the best Smash game, but I think my personal preference is Melee.
Really? So how would, like, just because I'm not quite as well-versed, and for those, just as a kind of disclaimer, I didn't get a chance to do a lot of research for this episode, so I am putting a lot of weight on Ben's shoulders, and he's been very gracious to help out.
Jeez.
No pressure. Don't worry. If anything, I'm the one that's going to look dumb, so don't worry about it. So in terms of being objective, like, what makes you say Brawl is better? And this is, like, an honest question, not, like, some kind of trap question.
So, Okay, well, it's hard to say because I think there is a lot to criticize about Brawl. Brawl is one of the most controversial entries in the series, too. But I would make the arguments that Brawl is most well-rounded as a game. Like, Brawl has a lot of single-player content in it. I'd say more than any other Smash game, including Ultimate.
Really? Because Ultimate has... I only played a little bit of it, but that single-player, like... it's like a... like almost like a world map that you travel around and fight different enemies. That looks huge.
This is going to be controversial. I don't think that mode is actually very good so far. I'm about a third. I just cleared... it's three maps, I think. I just cleared the first map on the hardest difficulty, and it's kind of underwhelming, I feel.
Really?
Like.
Okay. I have...
It's very, like, repetitive with its structure. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the event mode from Melee Brawl and 4, except... with kind of like the gimmick of, oh, now they have like a character spirit attached to them, so you're supposed to like imagine it's someone else. But I don't know, it's not really doing much for me.
I feel like the spirit thing in Ultimate is a little convoluted. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me being like a near 30-year-old and don't understand like a lot of the new mechanics in games and stuff, but like just the addition of spirits, I kind of understand. They're just basically power-ups from what I'm getting. But it
they're
seems unnecessary.
Stat-boosting power-ups? They're stat-boosting power-ups that have, like, an image of an old character's art for whatever reason. It's supposed to be a replacement of the trophies from the first couple games.
Okay.
And, yeah, boosting your stats is kind of cool for the single-player mode, but I don't know. It's usually I'm just kind of picking, well, what's my spirit who has the... you don't want to pick one that's too strong because you don't get as many rewards. So it's like, okay, which one do I have that's closest in range to the person I'm fighting that's got an advantage against them or something? So I don't really feel like there's that much depth there, sadly.
It's
a little underwhelming. Like,
I get what you're saying. Because there's certain games where they try to add depth, but it always ends up just being like, which rock, paper, scissors scenario option are you choosing this time?
And that's exactly what it feels like. A spirit is either attack, defense, or grab, where attack beats grab, grab beats defense, and defense beats attack.
So you're literally...
And it's like, so you kind of pick the rock... And it's not like you need to pick one and then you're locked into it for the map. It's like you can choose which one you want to use before each mini battle. So it's like you can always be prepared. So I don't... It doesn't really add much.
It just kind of... Yeah, I agree. I have not played it, but that makes sense why it's kind of... It's kind of a little underwhelming. So let's talk about now, since we kind of went into a little bit of your history with it, let's just talk about the series in general. Let's start out with the development. So from what I did, what little research I was able to do, it was created by Masahiro Sakurai. I think I pronounced his name correctly.
Yeah, it's
And he was the creator of the Kirby series, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. And him and Satoru Iwata, rest in peace, way before he passed away. They kind of worked on Smash Brothers in their off time, and they were both working at HAL Laboratories. Satoru Iwata was the president, I believe, of HAL at the time, and Masahiro, I'm gonna butcher their names. I'm just gonna say Sakurai, so I don't
mashed potato
butcher
samurai. Everyone.
Just keep on messing it up. But no, so he was making it off time, asked Satoru Iwata to help. He agreed, and they kind of made like a... I forget what the name of the prototype was.
Dragon King.
What?
It was named Dragon King.
That was it. And that's kind of where the game started. And then they realized, then they said, well, you know, we want some actual characters in it, not these faceless nobodies. And they, you know, prepped it over to Nintendo, and the rest is history.
Well, actually, so what happened was Nintendo rejected it at first. They didn't like the idea.
I did not know that. Okay, so what did they say about the rejection? Do you know what they said about the rejection? Was there any specifics?
I don't remember what they said. I think they just said they didn't think the mechanics sounded that interesting, but don't quote me on that. It could be dead wrong. I believe what happened was Nintendo rejected it at first, like the initial pitch, and then Iwata told Sakurai to go ahead and put like Mario and Link in it anyway. And so he did, and then he had, like, a more complete version, and he pitched it again, and this time they're like, oh, you know, this actually might sell, so.
And I do know they were pretty worried about it in general, just because it, like, during the focus test before it was released, a lot of gamers didn't really like the idea of Nintendo's mascots fighting each other.
Yeah, that was a problem, and then on top of that, it's like, the fighting mechanics are very different from other fighting games. I don't know if you have any experience with, like, Street Fighter or anything, but... Street Fighter is like a completely different beast, so.
No, you're 100% right, because I believe even Sakurai said that he wanted to go for a more, like, an easily approachable fighting game, because a lot of times when you're playing, you know, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, especially in arcades, you have, you know, the one kid in the arcade who's really good, and the learning curve to get up to that skill level is just nearly insurmountable, it seems like.
Those games require a big time commitment just to understand, like, the basics of.
No, yeah, you're right. And on top of that, I would even say not just because of the community at the time, but also the mechanics of the game themselves. Like, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, it's much more technical. It's a lot more, you know, you have to hit certain buttons and certain patterns, versus Smash is just you hit a button. It's all just, it's more twitch reflexes, I would say, versus a combination of twitch reflexes and pattern memorization.
So I'm going to have to disagree with you as someone who has experience in competitive Smash.
Okay.
Smash is a much lower skill floor than other fighting games. It's much easier to get into. I agree with that. But I think the skill ceiling is probably about as high.
Well, Smash, I didn't mean that is... the skill... Sorry, I cut you off.
Smash is much simpler in terms of the controls itself, but I'd say there's still a lot of technicalities that go into, like, the precision of your spacing, and there's a lot of, like, mind games and stuff that really amp up the complexity. Smash is very complex based on its engine. The fact that you have, like, a free-range movement adds, like, a whole new dynamic that other fighting games don't really have any way to replicate, so.
That's a fair point. And I wasn't quite saying that, like, Smash was less difficult at the higher end than, like, Street Fighter. What I meant in terms of, like, actual, like, in terms of inputs, Street Fighter is more technical.
That is true, although that is now a moot point since you can play as Ryu and Ken in Smash, so.
Yeah, it kind of, yeah, exactly.
And, that was a joke. They are simplified in Smash, but.
But no, and like, because even, I mean, it shows, like, to credit your point, you are correct, like, Smash has become such a, like, a crazy in-depth community. Like, look at how much people have broken Melee. Like, you have so many different techniques in that game that I don't know if the developers planned on, but, like, wave dashing and things like that, know very little about.
In the case of that, some of them, like, L-canceling was intentional. Sakurai wanted that in. It was actually in Smash 64 with an official name. I think it was Smooth Landing. Wave dashing was kind of like a weird physics exploit. It's not really a glitch. Like, if you understand the physics, it is supposed to happen, but it's not really something they intended to be used the way it was.
No, that may, I'm, like I said, like, it's not necessary. Okay, I guess glitch was the wrong. I don't know if I said glitch, but if I did,
you
it's
didn't
the
say
wrong
glitch.
Term.
I was just using that as, like, a frame of reference. It's like, it's not really intentional, but it's not really a glitch either. So,
oh, it's the same type of thing where it's an exploit that you can use. Yeah. I mean, an example I would give, even though this is a glitch, so it's not exact a perfect one-to-one comparison, but, like, super jumps in Halo 2, like, it's in everybody's original copies of Halo 2. Anyone can technically do it if they know how to do the inputs properly, but the developers either A, didn't know they were there, or B, didn't intend for players to do that.
I believe Sakurai commented on wave dashing specifically, saying that, like, they found it while playtesting, but they didn't really think much of it because they didn't really see any use for it, which is kind of ironic because it's kind of the most important thing in playing Melee now, but...
Well, before we go into... Because I'd actually want to, like, a description of what wave dashing is, because I can't wrap my head around it. I never could, even when I played it a whole bunch. But before we jump into that, we'll probably talk about that when we talk about Melee specifically. Okay. But let's talk about the original one. So sure. We already talked about its development a little bit and how it kind of came to be. But what would you say is the... most notable thing about, or one of the most notable things about the original Smash Bros?
I would say just the fact that this is the first time that all these characters came together. There was never a game before that had Mario, Link, Pikachu, Fox, and Kirby, like, right there on the box, you know? Mm-hmm. Let alone the fact that you can have all of them, like, on screen at the same time playing with each other. It's kind of like, have you ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I have not, but I know what you're talking about.
It was kind of like that feeling, like if you saw Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny on screen for the first time. It was that kind of like really cool, like, oh wow, I never even dreamed this would be possible feeling.
Or if
I'd
we're
say
going
that's what stands out about it.
If we're going with a contemporary thing, Wreck-It Ralph with all the video game villains.
That would be a much more modern example.
But I think your example's better, because I like old stuff. But no, and I... You're right, because it really was the And it wasn't even just the fact that all the Mario, or sorry, not Mario, but all the Nintendo mascots and characters were mixed in. It was also the fact that it was one of, not the first, but one of the earliest, you know, four-player couch co-op games.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it, I mean, there was still a handful that came out, because I believe, I want to say GoldenEye came out before this, and
GoldenEye,
I believe,
was
Mario Kart
before. Those are both
in 97, yeah. So it definitely wasn't the first, but, like, for years afterwards, kids would take their N64s and then GameCubes and other things to college just so they would have something to play with their friends there.
It definitely, like, standardized the couch co-op thing, I think.
And
like,
I think,
like, it, when I think of a game you play on the couch with friends, I think of something like Smash, you know?
And I also think it's important to note that it popularized it, because unfortunately, as much as I like that, as much as I like four-player couch co-op, it's not really a thing so much anymore. So it always makes me happy that, like, not only did Nintendo popularize it, but they're still championing it and showing that it can still be viable in today's market.
No, definitely. That's a very unique thing. I mean, that's a good point. When I have friends over, I don't take out the PS4 ever, you know?
Well, it was like, what would you play?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, what would we play together on the PS4? I mean, there are some games with my girlfriend, we can play, like, a story-driven game together, but, like, I'm not gonna have a friend over to play through The Last of Us with me, you know?
Exactly. And even, and I really feel like that's always been Nintendo, not always, but Nintendo has always been kind of like that company that, once again, like I said, championing that couch co-op thing. Because even look at the Wii U, while it didn't really do well commercially, you could have five people playing at once on that thing.
You got eight with Smash on Wii U.
Yes, you could. I forgot. And with Ultimate now with Switch, you can have up to
eight. Yeah.
I was just thinking of Nintendo Land.
That was a pretty fun one, honestly, for a free game.
Yeah, no, I still find myself playing that every now and then. All right, so yeah, so the original Smash was groundbreaking, not just for like you said, adding all these different characters in, and or sorry, combining all these different characters for the first time. Did the first Smash have a single player campaign?
It had an arcade mode, where you just kind of fought each character on their own stage in, like, a predetermined order. It's okay. Certainly fun. It feels like when you used to play, like, the arcade modes in Street Fighter. But, like, you know, it doesn't have that much content to it once you play with every character. Unless you're a hardcore completionist like me who wants to do it on the hardest difficulty with every character, you're probably not going to do it again. So,
is Master Hand in that first game, too?
Yes, he is the final boss when you beat that mode.
Okay.
And then, in addition to that, there are two other kind of mini-games, being Break the Targets and Board the Platforms. Are you familiar
with
those?
Yes, I remember that. Those were difficult.
They were. So what those were timing challenges where you had to pick a character and then go through a kind of like an obstacle course and either stand on 10 different platforms or break 10 targets before you used to do it like beat your own score, like beat your own fastest time. And one thing that made those really cool was that each obstacle course was catered to a specific character to be difficult for them and to make use of their own abilities.
I did not know that. I mean, so I knew about the obstacle course, but I didn't know it was catered to based on the character.
So, like for instance, Ness's and Yoshi's required use of projectiles, whereas, like, Captain Falcon's, I think, was kind of, like, sprawling and open. I could be completely misremembering which one's which now. I know for a fact Jigglypuff's made you have to, like, hover across a large gap while breaking targets in her Break the Targets level.
That sounds horrifying.
It was to, I feel like the philosophy with this was they wanted to get you good with each character. So it's like, those are kind of like your tutorial for how does this character work.
That's a really cool game design idea, though, as opposed to teaching through the combat, which is what you would expect. It teaches you through just a series of challenges and not even like telling you that these are tutorials, but it just kind of masking it that way.
Yeah. I know I spent more time in this with Melee and Brawl, but I spent a lot of time even in 64 to try and, like, beat my own times, get my, like, it would tell you a total high score, which would be, like, all your character times combined. I used to try to get that, like, I'm going to play tonight and just get this total score 30 seconds lower. So I'm just, like, switching between characters, like, who can I shave off, like, 2 seconds on? And, like, that's really fun
like
trying
to do that. Almost sounds like a proto-speed running type of thing.
Oh, if you look up, like, the tool-assisted videos for, like, those Break the Targets, they're super crazy.
I love watching tool-assisted speedruns. Have you ever seen, like, any of the Mario Kart ones?
I don't think I've ever seen a Mario Kart one. Outside of the, like, world record time trials, I don't think I've seen one of, like, I'd be interested in seeing like someone do a Grand Prix speedrun, though. It's like the AI throwing stuff at them.
I've seen like I don't know if they've done the full Grand Prix, because generally like watching a TAS just play a game that long won't be the most interesting.
Yeah.
But they I've seen some where it's just like they like manipulated some like the coin blocks to get a specific item. So you usually get a shell, so it'll like knock you over a ledge to get to the other side of the track. Huh. It's crazy. After we're done recording, I'll see if I can find one and send it to you. But
yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's crazy. Do you ever watch the Games Done Quick stuff?
I've seen bits and pieces of those. Like I've seen Sonic 06 for Games Done Quick a few times. I want to say SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom had a Games Done Quick, and I watched that.
They're going to be doing another one in January, so I check the schedule if there's anything that you find interesting, because the way they break those games, it's nuts.
I'm pushing to get the game Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights in that, because I was the first world record holder for that game. I held the record until someone else speedran and beat me, but I held it for like 3 years, so.
That's crazy. What game was this?
Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights. It's made by the same dev who made Battle for Bikini Bottom. And I'd say it's honestly a cute game. The first half's really well constructed. It's kind of like a Metroidvania platformer. And then the second half of the game, hardcore falls apart. But
it can't always win everything, I guess. But sounds interesting. I'm actually going to write that down, because I'm always looking for... I do this thing where it's not really with SpongeBob or Scooby-Doo games, but it would kind of be up that alley, where I'll go to like a game store with a limit of like $10, and I will find the strangest game I can find for $10 or less.
If I can plug my own YouTube here.
Yeah.
The strangest game I've ever played is called Pets Cats 2. It is not a cat raising simulator. It is a Legend of Zelda ripoff.
Is it official game or like an indie game?
Yes, it's an official game that lies to you on the back of the box and tells you it's a pet raising simulator when it's in fact not.
That's crazy.
I have done two different video essays. It's one big video essay split into two parts, each like a half hour long, of me just talking about the game and how weird it is and why it's also a really bad game too. But
did you beat it?
I've played through it like 10 times. I love it. God. It's just so captivating with how weird it is.
The
plot is that like this evil wolf manipulates you into giving him the magic hat, and like your character is just some doofus who for some reason trusts the evil wolf. And then you have to do chores for the people in town to help them rebuild it, because the wolf destroys the town. Then when you're done, they just make you do chores for them anyway, because they're a bunch of lazy assholes.
That's fantastic.
It's such a weird game, but like if you ever get the chance to play it, do it. It's so intriguing. Like you can't put it down until you beat it.
And one last time, because my memory's bad, so I'm going to assume that other people listening's memories will be bad. What is the game again?
It is called Pets Cats 2.
There's...
I don't know where the 2 came from. I don't know why it says pets in it, because it's not part of the pet series, even though it has their logo.
Is there a Z involved in any of those?
Yes.
Are they both Zs, like pets with a Z and cats with a Z?
Yep. I will link you to my videos when we're done this conversation.
I am sold, and I will make sure to tag this. I'll make sure to tag at least your social media and YouTube stuff in the bio for the episode, or in the info.
Sorry for getting us really off topic.
No, do not need to apologize. Pets Cats 2 sounds like the best thing I've ever heard.
I would give the game a solid 1 out of 10 if I were reviewing it. So
I've seen the games I found in like those $10 runs. I found a Pink Panther game for the Super Nintendo. It was just called Pink Goes to Hollywood. And I don't know what possessed them to get that license, because the Pink Panther wasn't that popular in the 90s as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to make a game for.
And it's a platformer. It's kind of like the same thing where they did that home improvement platformer for the Super Nintendo.
I've seen that.
That is strange, to put it mildly.
Is that the one where you have to like fight dinosaurs with Tim Allen or something?
Yeah. Tim Allen fighting.
Yeah, I think I've played that.
He's like throwing screwdrivers at dinosaurs or something like that. It's batshit crazy. I've also found what is it? There's a game called Power Pigs of the Dark Ages for the Super Nintendo.
Never heard of that one.
I didn't either. It's not awful. Like it's a serviceable platformer. What I'm impressed by is that the art style is like, it's simplistic, but the animation's surprisingly good for a Super Nintendo game. So I'll have to next time I'll have to have you over so you can check it out. But
yeah, that sounds cool.
But anyway, so let's get back to Smash Brothers.
yeah, what people came here to listen to.
So let's move on to Melee then. We talked a little bit about the original, but Melee is really where the game kind of developed its iconic status. Like, it already had a cult following from the original, but like Melee just kind of blew up that expectation and just like it raised the popularity so much higher than it already was.
I almost feel like the original was like a prototype for Melee.
I would agree.
Like, Melee is what they envisioned, but didn't have the time or budget to make on N64, or processing power for that matter. And then, like, when they had the opportunity to make Melee, it was like, that was them going all out.
I feel like a lot of game developers do that, too. Like, if you look at even, this isn't modern anymore, but, like, the Left 4 Dead series. Like, Left 4 Dead 1 feels like a proto-Left 4 Dead 2. Like, they added...
That's how I feel about, like, the Portal games.
Yeah, Portal 2. I mean... That one, I think Portal was developed by a bunch of, like, game students or, like, college students at the time. So that kind of makes sense why there is that progression. But, like, when it's, like, something that's coming from a AAA developer and they change so much of it in the sequel, it almost feels like they released an incomplete version of the game first.
Yeah, really.
But, because, like... I mean, at least Nintendo had an excuse of processing power. Like, if it's for PC, it's going to work either way. So whatever. Neither here nor there. But no, so Melee was interesting just because it added more characters in. How many more characters do you know?
Smash 64 had 12 and Melee had 26. So they add 14.
They more than doubled it. So
yeah, they more than doubled it. But to be fair, six of the characters were what's known as clones. And clones are based on a character already in the roster. They had costume changes. They were almost always wearing a different outfit, except for Link and Young Link.
Mm-hmm.
They usually had stat differences. Like, Dr. Mario is slower and stronger than normal Mario.
Okay.
And then a few of them have completely unique moves. So, the clones in Melee were Dr. Mario based on regular Mario, Falco based on Fox, Pichu based on Pikachu, Roy based on Marth, Young Link based on Link, and then here's a really weird one, Ganondorf based on Captain Falcon.
I could see that, a very slow Captain Falcon.
But the weird thing is, like, he fights with a sword and magic, but in Smash he's just punching people.
He has his, knee of justice, no, I call Captain Falcon's the knee of justice, but...
Yeah, that's actually the one move he didn't get. He has that's Captain Falcon's forward air move, and Ganondorf has a different one where he, like, kind of swings his fist over his head and, like, punches down, so.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. People call that one the Skull Cruncher.
The noticeable difference between Melee and the original, and pretty much Melee and every subsequent Smash game, is the speed. Melee is one of it's still to date the fastest in terms of, like, character movement, the fastest game in the series.
Character movement, button inputs are really fast in Melee.
I don't think a game has ever really felt quite as, like, I don't like to use the word perfect too often, but, like, the controls, the actual controls, I always hear people use, like, you know, it's very tight controls, but I've never really played a game that has a more perfect, like, control layout as well as input and just feel to it.
I'd say the weird thing is everyone I know, when they first play Melee, don't like the controls. They say they're, like, too sensitive, but then after you keep playing it, you feel it. You understand why it is the way it is.
I 100% agree, because the first time I played it, I got mad because I couldn't see where my character was because he'd run off the screen, like, faster than I was anticipating.
Yeah.
Did you ever have, like, that learning? Like, you said that when you first tried a Smash game, it was it was Melee, and you kind of had that experience. But, like, do you still get that experience of where it's, like, the learning curve is just annoying at some points for you?
Oh, yeah, when Ultimate came out, the first match, my girlfriend and I were just, like, getting frustrated with the controls being different.
Are you playing on the GameCube controller on your Switch, or are you playing with, like, the Pro or something?
I'm playing with the Switch Pro. I actually have to use a different controller in each Smash game, because my muscle memory will screw me over. If I use a GameCube controller in any game that's not Melee, I will start trying to play as if the physics are, like, Melee.
Okay. I don't have that issue, but I can understand especially if you play a lot.
I have put 1,500 hours into Melee, I played a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Did you play that competitively, too? Was that the one you played competitively?
I used to play Melee and Brawl a little competitively. Brawl's the only one I actually ever got any results in. I won 50 chicken nuggets doing Brawl once.
Sorry. I just like the prize.
I played some Melee my first 2 years at my university. I did just say the name, but I'm going to ask you to censor that out.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I didn't even hear that you said it, but I'll when I'm listening back, I will actually edit this out.
But anyway, the first 2 years of my university, I did some Melee competitively. I didn't really win anything, but it's like I definitely learned a lot, you know?
Mm. And so this was at college that you competed, yeah. Right? Okay.
I mean, throughout high school, I was following the competitive scene, but I wasn't, like, going to tournaments in high school. I didn't have money or transportation, so.
I've heard stories. Now, this is, I know we're kind of, like, not talking about the games anymore, but this is all involved with Smash. So, I've heard the Smash community is a little toxic. Is that true?
Oh, I actually wrote a 35-page paper on the Smash community about a year ago.
Really?
For school. And
okay,
I will say that there is a lot of toxicity in it, and a lot of it, there's a very big divide. My thesis on the paper was about the divide in the Smash community, and honestly, I don't want to pin all the blame on Sakurai, but I feel like he handled a lot of things in the divide very poorly.
He handled a lot of things what, sorry?
Like, with the divide in the Smash community, Sakurai has handled it very poorly in the past. He has actually made a lot of effort to turn this around in recent years.
Okay.
But he used to be... There's, like, the stigma that competitive players are elitist, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, I've only ever seen the non-competitive players being elitist.
No, you're right.
I've only ever seen them saying stuff like, oh, you guys just tear and turn off items, like, ban, say, why you do that? Why can't we just all have fun? And I'm like, I'm having fun the way I want to, and I'm not telling you what you need to do, so why are you bothering me?
There is, I'll have to link it to you, but there is this thing I saw a while ago about players who get competitive, and generally the most toxic portions of any community, there's like studies done like within, I'll have to link it to you because I don't have the studies off the top of my head, but basically if you look at all the different tiers of skill levels, you have, you know, your low, middle, and high. It's the middle of the low tier is the most toxic portion of most, not, I'm not going to say all because you can't really speak in, you know, definites, but like generally the middle, like if you're in the middle of the low skill tier, that's where the most of the assholes are. And it's,
I will agree with that completely. The Smash fans who I find toxic are the ones who don't really play the game competitively, kind of get mad at people who do play the game competitively, and they also usually whine and complain to Sakurai that they don't like the characters in the game or whatever.
And I can tell you from personal experience, I kind of can be one of those. I don't vocally do it. Like, I'm not, like, the guy who, like, I have those thoughts and emotions because I'm bad at the game. But, like, I don't express them, but I can understand their thought process. Because, like, there'll be times when, like, I don't understand why I'm doing so poorly, and that's frustrating.
I mean, to be frustrated is to be human. There's nothing wrong with that. It's about how you present your frustration, you know?
Fair enough. No, they went on and said it was, it was interesting because they were saying how the reason why the people in like that middle bottom tier are like have those that level of frustration is because they have poor heuristic skills. They don't understand how far away they are from the top and how close they are to the bottom. So they think they're higher than they actually are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, they think they're higher than they actually are, like than they're actually at. I used to be that way with Halo 2. I loved Halo 2 and I got pretty good at it, but I would get frustrated when I would go up against someone better than me, thinking that like even knowing that I'm not as good as them, but it would frustrate me when I wouldn't perform as well. And I was stuck in that middle bottom tier and having poor heuristic skills, not quite understanding how far away I really was to them.
Yeah, no, when I was younger, I don't think I really grasped just how big the gap can be between like being someone who really understands how the game works versus being someone who just kind of thinks they know how the game works.
Well, there are even people who know, like on a fundamental level, know how the game works, but can they execute it? So that...
Yeah, no. And then there's... Mm-hmm. I mean, a big thing with Smash is the way the metagame plays out. Like, When you get down to a competitive Smash, it's just a matter of reading your opponent, figuring out what they're going to do next, and stopping them before they do it. And it's like, I don't think, like, I really even understood that that's what the competitive side of the game was about until a few years ago. Because, like, that's just such a... That's a very hard thing to do while you're also trying to control your character in such a high-speed game.
Exactly. I have a friend who, he's been on the podcast before, for those who have listened. His name's Jay. He actually, I don't know if he still is, but at one point in time, he was, like, top 5 or 3 in the world for Soul Calibur, like Soul Calibur 5 or something like that.
That's impressive.
And he kind of had a similar thing where it's like he enjoys playing those games because he likes being able to figure out like what is the other person thinking, like what is their strategy and how can I counter it. And the other half, obviously, like you can know all the technical skills, you can know spacing, you can know like. I keep thinking spacing with spacing, reach, and power, and like which I don't know if they still have
follow ups,
priority, especially in Smash. Like, what moves will, even if you hit at the same time, you know, which moves will cancel the other out and overpower it. And he was saying, like, he likes being able to read people, and it even shows, like, I have some friends who would play Smash all the time. My one friend Micah is one of the best Smash players I know, not anywhere near professional, but he's a pretty good Smash player. But he would always lose to our one friend Jamie. But then Micah would come in and go against and play professional Smash players and do okay against them. Like, he was not good enough to compete in tournaments, but he could hold his own against them. And then Jamie would come in and get wrecked by them. But he would, but so even though that Micah was better technically and he could fight better technically, Jamie knew him better. He knew all his tendencies, and because he knew him so well, he could beat him every time. Exactly. So that, I always find that's interesting with, especially with competitive fighting games, like, or pretty much any competitive game. A lot of it's just reading your opponent, knowing what they're going to do. And it just, depending on the game, depends on what you need to read about them.
Honestly, I think that there's this whole perception that the media has that gaming is a lot of about reaction time. And honestly, I don't think reaction time is that important to playing any game, really. I think it's mostly about predicting the game.
I mostly agree with that, actually, now that I think about it. I still think a lot of it's reaction time, but when you get up to the high-level competitive scene, like, everyone has similar reaction times.
Well, it's everyone has similar reaction time, and it's also that human reaction time at its fastest is about 15 frames, and that is slower than most moves in Smash. You physically cannot react to most moves in Smash Bros. They're too quick.
No, it makes sense. And I don't know. And I guess that always makes me, that makes me marvel even more about how speedrunners work.
Speedrunners, as far as I can tell, are just robots pretending to be humans. I don't know how they do it.
Once again, kind of like what you were saying before, how you can't play other Smash games on a GameCube controller. It's all muscle memory. You just have like this program. You've programmed your mind to make your hands move a specific way. But all right, so let's talk about Brawl now. We've talked to, I mean, Melee is really where the competitive scene start, like, really took off. And hell, it's like, I think we talked about it off mic, it was still going on today, the Melee specifically.
Honestly, I think Melee is even huge for casual Smash, though, if you think of what it brought to the table.
Like, you mean they still use it for casually?
They don't still use it, but I think a lot of the series standards were created in Melee. Like, Melee was the first game to, like, really expand the stage roster. The first Smash game had 9 stages, and I think Melee had, like, 29. Melee was the first game to start, like, tracking your stats like a creepy stalker ex-girlfriend. Like, it remembers every little thing you did. Melee was the game that introduced the trophies to Smash, where it'd give you, like, rewards for doing different challenges, and each reward would be, like, a 3D model of a character with, like, a little bio about them.
I loved that, because as someone who loves game history, it was always interesting for me to learn about these, like, obscure characters that you've never heard of before.
Oh, yeah, I love that, too. It's like, Melee was the game to introduce, like, the All-Star mode and the Adventure mode and the Event Matches mode.
And I remember we would do, my friends and I, we would have huge tournaments on that. Like, we would pick, like, 2 characters And just we would fill out like the rest with NPCs, and so there'd be like six of us total, but with 12 characters, you know, total, you know, two for each, and that would give us kind of two chances. And of course, then you would inevitably run into the situation where you might have to face your own character, which if that happened, then you just pick your favorite and you move on. So it was kind of like a weird way of, it was kind of like a weird balancing act. Like if someone was too good, and inevitably they would have to face themselves and, you know, pick which one they are going to do to kind of balance out for the other people who might just be hanging on by a thread. But no, Melee was just, it was such a groundbreaking game in the series, just because, like you said, it, like, it's the template. It's kind of like Link to the Past for the Zelda series for a long while until Breath of the Wild came out. But like, it was that, it's that one game that really set the template for the rest of the entire franchise. And I mean, hell, Smash, I mean, granted, I don't think there's not a whole lot of room for iteration with Smash, but I mean, that's the, that's got to be the frustrating thing, especially for Sakurai. Like, there's, like, what more can you really change? Do you think Ultimate's going to be the last game?
I do think Ultimate will be the last game in the traditional sense. We can talk more about this when we get to Ultimate if you'd like, but I don't think it'll be the last Smash game, period, but I think it's going to be the last Smash game with, like, the same spirit as the others, if that makes sense.
I could, that could make sense. Or that, sorry, that does make sense. Not, my English is awful today. So let's move on to Brawl. So Brawl was the one that was the, you know, the Wii title of the game, the Wii version of Smash. And it added more characters. The first, we talked about before, the first non-Nintendo characters, and it added the Smash Ball.
It added the final Smashes, which I guess we should explain for people who don't know what that is. But the Smash Ball is an item that would fly around the stage, and if you attacked it enough, it would break, and your character would start to glow. And when they're glowing, you could unleash a move called a Final Smash, which was a ridiculously overpowered move to let you, like, kill everyone else.
Know what I just realized? I don't think we ever really... I mean, it, people should be able to infer it by now, but I don't think we ever really described what Smash Brothers is as a game. We just kind of went right into it. If you're still listening to this and you don't know what Smash Brothers is, I'm amazed you're here. And two, it's a fighting game at its core. So there we go. That covered the base.
It's a fighting game with free-range movement. It's kind of like a hybrid between a platformer and a fighting game.
That is...
And the goal, as opposed to draining your opponent's health, is to hit them so that their damage meter goes up. And the higher their damage meter is, the farther they fly when they get hit. That's known as knockback. And the goal is to try to hit your opponent off the edge of the stage.
That's actually kind of interesting to think about, because, like, you, I always, you know, I just kind of always took it for granted, but you can't really knock, in the traditional sense, knock out your opponent in Smash. It's always just, it's a ring. It's a ring out.
Yeah, that's the only way to get a kill in Smash.
That's always, other than, like, the stage being a dick to you, but once again, that usually takes...
Well, even then, it's a ring out. Every time, anytime the stage is a dick to you, you're still getting ringed out, always.
That's true. That is very true. There was, we were playing, my friends and I were playing Ultimate the other night, and the first time my friend, Micah, actually, that I talked about before, played it, or one of the first times, like one of the first couple matches, the stage killed him like two times in succession, like before anyone else could touch him. It was awful.
Cool. We'll talk about that later on, because the stages in the Smash series got a lot worse as they went on.
All right, well, good to know, because I haven't played much since Brawl. I didn't play. I have actually never played the Wii U or 3DS versions of the game. And I've played the original Melee, Brawl, and Ultimate, and very little of Ultimate at that. But no, so we're talking about Brawl, and the big difference was is that it was a lot slower than, I mean, other, well, there's a lot of differences, but in terms of mechanics, it was a lot slower.
It was a lot slower, and characters would randomly trip while moving.
I hated that shit.
They just fall face down. And there was one other major mechanic change, and that is hit stun was decreased significantly. So in previous games, the first two, when you hit someone, they'd be locked into like a hit animation for a while so that you could follow up and do a combo.
Mm-hmm.
Brawl tried to negate that by making hit stun minimal and allowing players to cancel it even earlier than that. And all three of those changes, the speed, the tripping, and the hit stun canceling, were done by Sakurai to give the middle finger to competitive players, and I think that was very immature of him, honestly.
No, I would agree, because especially the fact that not only did... because of that, but the fact that he slowed it down, like, it kind of took a lot of the edge off of the game, if that makes sense.
It definitely hurt the game competitively, but I think as a whole, it didn't hurt Brawl in the big scheme of things too much. Like I said, I would still make the argument that that Brawl is the best Smash game, like, in all things considered sense, so.
All right, fair enough. What would you say, what was your, because this was the first game that did, like we said before, non-Nintendo characters. What was your favorite non-Nintendo character in the game?
In Brawl specifically? There's only two choices.
Was there only, I guess, Sonic or Snake? All right, yeah. Sonic or Snake. We'll go with that.
Well, I actually knew who Sonic was when I first played Brawl, so him.
All right, fair enough. But you hadn't played the Metal Gear Solid game prior to that?
I own the first four on PS3, and then I own five on PS4, and I haven't played a single one of them.
it's the price of being, I don't know if you're a collector, but the price of being a,
I am.
It's the problem, the collector's problem, where you have so many games and never enough time or motivation to play all of them.
I have like 500 something in my collection, so.
Do you collect old ones, or is it like pretty like PS2 and up, or
whatever I want?
Pretty much, so you just go for everything.
Specific ones that interest me. Yeah,
fair enough.
Whatever I find that looks cool.
So all right, so let's get back to Brawl. I have no issues with all these digressions. I just always feel weird having these transitions. And no, this is not you. This is me asking. If I have a chance to talk to anyone about collecting, I could go off on it for hours just because I love talking about collecting. But that's not the topic of this episode. So Brawl was the one that was on the Wii. Was it the Wii's best selling game? I don't think so.
It was not the best-selling game on the Wii. Wikipedia would tell you that's Wii Sports, but that number's skewed because Wii Sports was included with the Wii.
It was a pack-in.
So I think Wii Play was the best-selling Wii game.
I keep forgetting they had all those just, like, generic, like, Wii titles. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Those were never my thing.
I want to say Mario Kart Wii outsold Brawl, but not by much.
The Mario Kart games in general sell a lot higher than you think they would. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of scary how, like, Mario Kart games, even, like, on failing Nintendo consoles, will outsell some of the more popular, games on other consoles. Like, I don't know if it's outsold, like, things like Assassin's Creed. Definitely not Call of Duty. But, like, but games that you would think, like, okay, well, no one really plays, like, you know, Nintendo. Oh, now Nintendo's, like, outrageously popular again. Just with casual fans, but with the hardcore gamers too. I don't know. It's always interesting to me. You wouldn't think it. Like, you would think like Smash would sell more, or maybe like Mario Galaxy, but like generally
Mario Galaxy actually sold poorly, if I remember. I think it only had like 2 or 3 million, which is pretty bad for Mario.
Yeah. And it's always interesting. The numbers for Mario games have, I believe, if I remember correctly, they decrease them every time it goes to 3D. Like, even like the 2.5,
hardcore,
even the 2.5D games that are like the new Super Mario Brothers sell better than the new 3D Mario games. I don't know about Odyssey. I don't know those numbers.
Odyssey is the first time a 3D Mario has sold better than the last 3D Mario. So
that's depressing. But I love Odyssey.
Yeah.
All right. So. Now, this is, we'll move on to the Wii U game, unless, do you have any other things to say about Brawl?
We didn't, like, say anything about Brawl.
I don't know what else to say, so, like, do you have any other things you want to say on it?
Oh, I have a lot to say about Brawl. I put 2,000 hours in.
Go at it. Let's hear what you got.
So I think the big thing everyone likes is the story mode in Brawl, complete with 2 hours of cutscene. Which, honestly, I love that story mode. I've played through it many times. I just played through it a few weeks ago.
I remember playing it a lot with my roommates, or not roommates. I used to have a group of friends. We'd get together every Tuesday, and it was always either Melee or Brawl. Once Brawl, we had a big party for when Brawl came out. I remember, and we played a lot of it then.
It's very much like a beat 'em up. So I understand a lot of people actually did not like the story mode, and if you don't like beat 'em ups, I could see why. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was really cool seeing all the characters interact with each other like that. So. If I had one complaint, it was that there was no voice acting, and I think that was a not good decision.
Well, how many, I get like not even like Fox or Falco were voice acted or anything like that?
The only voice clips in the story mode were ones that were used elsewhere in like the fighting.
Okay.
So like a character saying like, there, or like, come on.
You're too slow. No, what, is that from that? Is that from Melee?
That's from Brawl, but Sonic actually didn't say anything in certain... Sonic was a late addition to Brawl, and he only appeared in, like, one cutscene in Brawl because of that. Because they didn't think he was going to be in the game originally.
Sonic was a deceptively good character in that game, too.
I seem to recall he ranked pretty average in competitive.
I always remember not being able to play it. Filthy casuals like me. But I always remember not being good against him. I loved watching people play as Snake, though, because you could troll people so bad playing Snake.
Snake was so fun to play. I liked, he'd like set traps around the stage. Yeah. He wouldn't like fight directly most of the time. And you like try to like bait people into standing in the wrong spots and then blow them up with like a mine.
And that's what I think is the most fun part about it, because a lot of the other characters are just, you know, straightforward fighters. And he could do that, but like the fun about him was that he could, like you said, set traps. I also like that weird like mortar launcher thing that would like shoot, I don't want to say rockets, but like rounds up into the like up top. You could hit things higher up than you normally could. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I think that is actually an RPG, so...
That would make sense. It's just weird because he plants it in the ground, so it looks like a mortar, but he does fire an RPG. I know that. I mean, it's guided, too. You can pick where it goes.
Yeah. You can like, aim it and, like, control it in midair.
Snake, I love Snake. My favorite, like, troll character, though, in every... I have two characters that I like to use just to kind of, like, dick with other players. Game & Watch and Kirby. No,
both characters who in Brawl at least I could probably beat pretty easily.
No, sorry, Game & Watch and Jigglypuff.
Oh, I love Jigglypuff. She's because
Jigglypuff, the one where her like neutral B is where she charges up that roll.
Yeah, and she rolls forwards.
Yeah, that's what it is. I always love doing that because I mean, if it was a one-on-one play, these like troll moves would not work. I'm just talking about like if you're playing like with four people.
The big party. Because
Then you can just stand off to the side. I flip Bacon as Game & Watch at people. Just leave him off to the side. I don't know if that's what he's actually flipping at him, but I always called it Bacon.
I think it is Bacon, actually. There's one other huge thing to Brawl, and that is the soundtrack in Brawl. That is phenomenal.
Wasn't that one of the first fully orchestrated... was it the first fully orchestrated Brawl Smash game?
No, Melee was orchestrated, and I don't think any Smash game isn't fully orchestrated, because they try to do different styles for all the different music in it.
Mm-hmm.
So like some's orchestrated, some's supposed to sound electronic. Brawl had, I want to say, 258 songs in it.
Really? There was that many?
I mean, Ultimate has over 1,000, so
that someone told me that they had there was like 13,000 songs in Ultimate. I'm like, that can't be possible.
I don't know if it's 13,000, but I think it is at least 1,000.
How do
I know 13,000 people? Do you mean 1,300?
Yeah, that would make more sense.
13,000 would be absurd.
But I'm trying to even picture like where they're putting 1,000 songs. Like not in terms of storage, but like what's it used for?
Stages. Is it like stages in Ultimate can have like 100 different songs play on the stage?
Really? Is it depending on like the situation, or does it just change tracks at random?
It picks a track at random, and you can set the percentage you want each track to play.
That's insane in all the best ways.
That was started in Brawl. In Brawl, most stages had in between 8 and 10 songs they could play on them.
Really?
Yeah, and you could set the likelihood for whatever songs you liked. So, for instance, I would turn up like a song. The Final Destination theme in that game was beautiful. I put that up all the way on Final Destination. Whereas, like, on the... The bloody... What do you call it? The Fire Emblem stage? I liked all the music on that, so I kind of put them all, like, about the same. So...
Mm-hmm. This is, and speaking of stages, this is kind of backtracking just slightly, but if I remember correctly, in Melee, if you put, I can't remember if it's Mew or Mewtwo, but you get the Donkey Kong stage, like with the river underneath it, you know?
Oh, it's Ness you're thinking of.
Ness, that's who it is, sorry.
Yeah.
And you put him at level 9, and you don't move at all, he just kills himself every single time.
There are actually exploits like that in every Smash game.
Is there? What would be one in Brawl, if you know? I don't know if you know one off the top of your head.
So one of the cool things about Brawl, this is going to sound like a tangent, but it's not, was that you could create your own custom stages, you could build your own stages in a stage editor, and that was really awesome. And it came with three default stages. Mm-hmm. And on one of those three default stages, if you set, I think it was Wolf, to a level 3 or 5 or something, and just didn't move, he would always kill himself trying to get to you.
I can't believe I was about to stop talking about Brawl without talking about the stage creator. That's like one of the biggest things.
We haven't even gone like halfway through everything in Brawl. The reason I would argue Brawl as the best Smash game is just because of how much content is in it.
That's a fair argument. Like, regardless of like people's opinions on the gameplay itself, like there is a lot of shit in that game. Like, I completely forgot about the stage editor. Like,
you know what else you probably forgot about?
Hmm.
There's a list in Brawl of every single game Nintendo ever published, what console it was for, picture of the game's logo, and the date it was published.
There's a list in Brawl like that?
Yep. It's called the Chronicle.
How do you access it?
It's somewhere in the vault. I don't know off the top of my head, because... No, actually, I do know. If you go vault, I think it's actually right there, like in the first vault screen.
That's awesome.
Did you also know, I think there are, I want to say, 20 demos of NES, Super NES, and N64 games in Brawl?
Like, that are playable or just, like, yep, on the ROM or something?
You can play them.
How do you access those?
They're also in the vault. They're under Masterpieces.
Do you have to, play a certain amount to unlock that or do certain tasks?
They're unlocked for doing specific tasks. Like, for instance, okay, you can unlock Super Mario Bros. 2 by, like, using Peach's vegetable pole move, like, 15 times in a match or something. You unlock, like, the Ocarina of Time demo for, like, doing something with Link, probably, so...
So it's just demos of the game, so it's not, like, the full game or anything.
It actually is the full game, but it kicks you back to the main menu after about 5 minutes.
After about 5 minutes?
Yes. However, you can use a simple hack to disable that, and it's the entire game right there.
I'm a little flabbergasted right now. Excuse me. I had no idea that was in there.
This again. Brawl is the biggest Smash game in terms of content. It does not have the biggest roster. That is Ultimate. I think Brawl, excluding the characters and stages, had the most content.
In
every other mode, Brawl has the most content.
I cannot believe that they had full games on there. Granted, like you said, it is a demo version, but you can hack it out, which is just crazy. So technically,
also, you know the spirits? You know the spirits in Ultimate? Those like pictures of the different characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brawl has 700 of those.
And how many spirits are in Ultimate, do you know?
1,200 something.
And considering that was like two generations ago, that's even more impressive that there's 700.
Even double Brawl's. And on top of that, Brawl also had 544 trophies.
I mean, they don't have any trophies in Ultimate now.
No, which is so disappointing. That was my favorite thing about the previous Smash games.
Especially because, like we said before, it was kind of like a nice little history lesson, if you're interested in that, too.
The thing that frustrates me is, like, Sakurai mentioned they didn't do it because the amount of work that went in, but those were not original models. All the models for both Brawl and Force trophies were pre-existing game models, so it's not like they even had to make them from scratch. They just had to kind of copy-paste them.
And just change maybe some textures if they want to make it, like, a shiny or something.
They didn't even change the textures. I don't think they changed the textures for any of them.
Oh, I forgot. They're just like little miniature versions of it. It's not even like they trophyized them or they made them gold or silver or something.
No, it's just the character like standing there, like on a platform.
My God, I have not played enough of these games. I'm looking at my collection right now. I have Melee, but I actually don't have Brawl. And I do have Smash for the Wii U, but I got that for not really free, but when I bought the Wii U from a friend, it was included in the bundle that I got from him. And I never really felt the need to try because I don't really play it by myself. But I do have Ultimate, so I will actually have to log some hours into that like in the coming days.
Well, real quick before we move on to 4, I think there's one more thing that needs to be addressed for Brawl, and that is the modding scene for Brawl.
Wasn't there a big, like a really big mod for the competitive community? I can't remember
Project
what it was
M.
called. That's
Project
it.
M. It made the physics like Melee. It made a lot of the characters faster like Melee, and also brought back Roy and Mewtwo, who were both cut due to time constraints.
Really? Were they like? Did they just add them in? Like, how did the hack work? Were those models existing in the game data already?
Nope. They had to make their own models, make their own animations, and fill out all the parameters for them. I've done a lot of Brawl modding myself, so Yeah, it was a lot of work that went into that.
What kind of mods have you made for Brawl?
So I'm working on I have a custom mod pack that's like 99% done. I didn't really make most of the assets. There's a website called the Brawl Vault you can get them from. Mm-hmm. But I created all like the cosmetics for it and linked it all together. So the way it works is it's the base Brawl. I didn't change any of the physics because I just want to preserve Brawl the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I brought back the five characters who were cut from Melee, being Pichu, Mewtwo, Roy, Dr. Mario, and Young Link. Both Mewtwo and Roy are using their Project M movesets because I thought those were very well made. Brought back every single stage I was cut from the first two games. Made it so that depending on what button you hold down when you're picking a stage, you can get a version with like the original graphics, a version with like modernized HD graphics for the older stages, a different button you can hold down to turn off the stage hazards. I took Project M's All-Star Versus mode, which meant that every time you died, you could switch characters if you wanted to. It was like an optional thing you could do in matches, and put that in there. And a few other, like, I don't even remember what I did for that. All I know is it was a lot of work. It required, for what I did, it required learning a little bit of assembly in order to port the Project M alternate stage loader over to vanilla Brawl. So I've been working on this since 2011.
How close are you to finishing?
Like 99% done, but that, like, I go through phases of being into it and onto it. The last time I was really into it was July, so it'll probably be another few months before I get back to it.
That's crazy, though. And you actually had to learn, like, assembler language, like a little bit of it, just to code the thing?
I mean, it was basic stuff. I was just manipulating data that was already there rather than writing my own code.
Okay. Because, like, I dabble in computer programming here and there. Like, I took, you know, Java and C++ in college, especially since I went for game design and whatnot. But, like, I haven't touched it at all in a little bit. But, like, assembly language is, like, just that's just foreign to me. It's the
it's so complicated. I specifically did that to try to get it's called the alternate stage loader. It's a code that lets you load different versions of stages by holding down different buttons.
Mm-hmm.
The Project M version of that into normal Brawl, because the Project M version had some special things that the normal Brawl version didn't. And then it got, like, mostly working, when all of a sudden someone else posts a finished code online that's it completely working. Like, oh, great, well, all my hard work just went to waste because this version's actually finished. So,
well, at least you got to save a little bit of time in the end, then.
Yeah, it still hurt, though.
I don't blame you. But, all right, so is there any other final thoughts on Brawl? Because I can't believe I was going to pass on it sooner, but I move on so quickly, I mean. But is there any other final thoughts that you have on Brawl?
Zero Suit Hangouts of my sexual awakening.
No comment, because I relate completely. I mean, what?
Well, you were older when Brawl came out. I was in like
I was a late grade. Bloomer. No, I'm just kidding. No, Zero Suit Samus was that was something. That was something. but no, so for the next game, the Smash Bros. On the Wii U and 3DS, like I said before, I have not played this at all. So this is going to be a little more heavy on your end. Like, what was the big difference between this game and its previous iterations, and what did you like and did not like about it?
So I think Smash 4 was probably the weakest Smash game.
Mm-hmm.
Excluding maybe the original, just because it has so little content.
And it's gonna be really crazy. Blame it on that one, so.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy. I actually think the 3DS version of Smash 4 is a little better than the Wii U version.
Why? Just because is it crazy because, like, the 3DS is technically less powerful than the Wii U, or?
There's a couple of reasons why I like it more on 3DS. First off, these stages are way better on 3DS. The Wii U stages, the philosophy seemed to be, like, how can we make the stage screw over the player, as opposed to how can we make the stage fun?
Mm-hmm.
So the way it worked, I should probably explain this. Both versions had the same characters with the exact same moves and exact same physics, but they only shared about 10 or 12 stages. All the other stages were exclusive to one version or the other, which was kind of lame, honestly, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And universally, I have a series on my YouTube channel I just finished where my girlfriend and I played one match on every single stage in every Smash game leading up to the launch of Smash Ultimate. And basically, we were like almost on the Wii U stage. We're like, hey, it's finally a good Wii U stage. they're really bad. But so that sucked. The single player content was a little better on 3DS. I still don't think it was good on either version, but the classic mode was more fun on 3DS because it wasn't so RNG heavy. I actually kind of like the art direction better on 3DS. So Smash 4 went for more Nintendo art style than previous Smash games, which are a little more gritty and realistic looking. I don't think realistic is a good way to put it. It's more like detailed, more detailed than you expect from Nintendo. Smash 4 went to a very bright, colorful palette, which, I mean, that's fine, but one thing I liked is, as I said at the beginning of this whole podcast thing, was that, like, Melee and Brawl's visuals stood out. Like, you knew that that was Mario in Brawl when you saw him there. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in 4, he kind of just looked like Mario in any other game, and I guess that's fine, but it just didn't have the same appeal to me.
And that's more of an aesthetic thing, but like, or like, your opinion on aesthetic thing, but I can understand, like, if the art direction isn't your favorite, it does detract a lot.
Although, between the two versions, I actually thought the 3DS version looked a little nicer. The 3DS version went kind of all out with the bright colors and made it, like, a cel-shaded look and gave the characters an outline. And I ended up actually turning off the outline because of one problem. That was a character would not cast an outline on themselves, which means if, like, they move their hand over their chest, the outline around their hand would vanish. I didn't like that. But I feel like the cel-shaded look with a better implementation of the outline would actually be really cool.
A lot of times I feel like cel-shaded graphics, not all the time, but a good chunk of the time, those graphics overall look better and age a lot better than most times, like, more realistic or gritty graphics do.
Yeah, I definitely like cel-shading, and I wouldn't have picked it for Smash, but I thought it worked really well when I saw it in practice there.
And they probably had to do it I haven't played it, but I would assume they had to do it like sparingly. Like, you don't want to go full on cell shading because it's otherwise it wouldn't be Smash. But if you do it kind of like a cell shade light, I guess.
They actually did do full on cell shading on the 3DS because they were concerned with the visibility on the small screens that players would have trouble seeing their characters.
That makes a lot of sense.
So they went for that so that they'd stand out more. And I think that was a good decision, because when I first started playing Smash, I was using the original 3DS model, which had like a 2.5-inch screen. It was tiny.
I was going to say, like, the 3DS version will probably stand out long or stand up to time better, just because, like, look at games like Wind Waker, Sly Cooper.
Those
still look good.
I mean, I can go back to Sly Cooper every year and say that game is one of the greatest looking games I've ever seen.
And it's good art direction. And there's a reason that, like, certain games age more quickly than others. Like, even going back, like, I love Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, but it doesn't look as good as you remember it looking.
Oh, no. Even Twilight Princess doesn't look as good as you remember.
I never liked how Twilight Princess looked, but I also didn't play it a whole lot. But
I liked the way Link and Zelda looked. Every side character looked like a freak, though.
Did you like the art style for Skyward Sword? I've not played Skyward Sword yet. It's the one of the Zelda games I have not even played. Like, I've played Twilight Princess, but not beaten it. But I haven't even played Skyward Sword yet.
I liked the art style in Skyward Sword. Still didn't make me like the game, though. So
fair enough. What else do you? What other thoughts do you have on Smash 4?
So Smash 4 was the game that made the character roster introductions like insane. We got Cloud Strife in Smash 4.
Did he really start in Smash 4?
Yeah. He was the one of the last DLC characters, and, like, nobody saw that coming.
Huh.
Smash 4 also added, like, Ryu from Street Fighter, complete with Street Fighter controls, which is awesome. It added Bayonetta, so we had a character from a pornographic game in Smash, which is certainly unique.
Is Bayonetta an actual, like, pornographic game, or is it just, like, a softcore type of thing?
It's more softcore, but, like...
It is pretty...
It's still a different element for Smash, you know?
Oh my god, when we were playing Ultimate, because I didn't know that she was in Smash 4, but my friends and I were playing Ultimate, we were constantly confused if she was shooting stuff out of her ass or not. When it was
she
really...
She shoots from, like, from pistols that are also her high heels, I think.
Yeah, and that's what it was, but it was like she was posing in such a strange way to shoot them.
I think the crazy thing is she actually strips in Smash as she fights. It's like they got this, they toned it down a bit, but it's like still they let that in.
Nintendo's weird with their censorships. I don't.
Yeah.
Certain things they allow in and other things they don't like. Didn't they get rid of the cross on Link's shield in the original, like, Ocarina of Time?
Sorry.
In the original Legend of Zelda because religious symbolism? That's the word.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing about that. That isn't, like, the instruction manual. So the first two Zeldas, it appears that it's very Christian in terms of their religion. Like, Link is seen praying to a crucifix, I think, in Zelda 2's manual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, by Link to the Past, in the Japanese version, they still kept that. By the American version, they started to cut that out. And then from there, they kind of just removed it altogether and came up with their own mythology. Which, honestly, for a fictional setting like that, I kind of prefer when it has
no mythology. No, I agree. It makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
And well, they would do stuff like that all the time where they would pick and choose things to remove, you know, whether it was too much, like it was too sexualized, whether it was too violent. But then they would leave stuff in, like in Bionic Commando, you blow up Hitler's head.
To be fair, I don't think Nintendo made that one.
No, but like they still had, but game developers still had to pass their censors.
Yeah,
and whatnot.
That's true. I mean, I know over time Nintendo's been a lot more lax at censorship. There is actually a controversial thing now where PS4 is like censoring all the games, whereas like you can just straight up get like actual hardcore pornographic games on Switch. So,
can you really?
And the shop is like all this hentai stuff.
Well, I know what my... I mean, don't tell my wife. But
just
no,
go
so.
To like... Just scroll down the shop page and look at all the anime games. And it's like, oh.
Half of them are like hentai dating sims or something.
Yeah, that's what they look like to me.
Oh, Nintendo.
The joke on my YouTube is I always say I hate anime, so...
You say you hate anime, sorry?
Yeah, that's always my joke on YouTube. It's like, oh, I hate anime. I've never seen anime, so...
there's some good stuff out there. I'm not going to
sure,
be...
I'm sure there is. I'm just playing it up as like a joke because it pisses people off.
Oh, my... I'm sure people are like losing their minds. Everything's is offensive to everyone now.
Yeah. But no, if so, I go back... If I go back to the roster a second for Smash Bros.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was going to ask you what else you had to say.
Okay. They added, like, Pac-Man, which is awesome. They added the Miis, which is really cool, because I thought a customizable Mii was a great idea. Like, I didn't think they'd ever do that. That was awesome.
I'm happy they did that, because that makes it even more personable for the players.
No, exactly. That's great. And then this is probably means nothing to 99% of people, but I like that they added Lucina from Fire Emblem. She's one of my favorite characters. And I like that they added Shulk from Xenoblade, because that is the greatest game on any Nintendo platform, in my opinion. So
I still have not played Xenoblade 1 or 2.
Don't play 2. Oh, don't God, play don't two. Play 2.
It's not good?
A lot of people like 2. I'm going to say that I probably would like 2 if I were like 12, but honestly, I hated everything about 2.
Well,
it was
that's
one of the worst
depressing.
Experiences I've had with a game. It was like... The story was a lot less serious. I hated the character designs. All the characters' personalities I thought were just annoying. The gameplay was just so slow and tedious. It just felt like the first game's combat, but heavily simplified and flowcharted.
Mm.
So I cannot recommend 2, honestly. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine. If they like it, that's all for them. But my own recommendation would be stay as far away from that game as possible. Even for free, it's not worth playing through. The story is so bad.
Wow. That is,
and this is coming from someone whose favorite Nintendo game and third favorite game of all time is the first Xenoblade.
For the Wii, that's not incredibly rare anymore, but it's still rare. It's worth a little bit of money now.
It's definitely like $40-ish now, which for a used Wii game is definitely a lot.
I actually think it's higher than that. I thought I checked.
Really?
I think I
it
checked price
to,
charting, and it was
like
still
80s.
60 or 70.
Oh wow. I know when I got it, it was 80-ish, so.
Mm-hmm. I might be wrong, though. If it's only 40, I'm going to go find a copy, because I could swing that right now.
Honestly, I don't care what you say your morals are. If you need to, pirate it to play it. You need to play it, because once you pirate it, you'll be able to justify $100 for it.
Sorry, you cut out there. What?
I said once you play it, you'll be able to justify $100 for it. So pirate it first if you need to, and then buy it when you're done. I don't care. Just play it. It's so good.
I'll have to give it a shot. I there's so many. It's weird because like especially with RPGs, I seldom have enough time to play them anymore.
Get the 3DS version.
I actually do have a new 3DS, so I could actually play that.
Get the 3DS version then. That's what I play it because I don't have time to sit at home and play games anymore.
Well, so. I never even play like handheld games even on the go. That's the thing. But I will make time for RPGs. So I just beat Earthbound for the first time somewhat recently, and that was fun. Have you played it before?
I have played Earthbound and Mother 3, and in both cases, it was a matter of I liked the writing, I enjoyed the stories and characters, but RPG gameplay isn't really something I can get into. Again, which makes Xenoblade such a free game that I love the gameplay so much, but...
Have you... No, I actually kind of... I haven't played Mother 3, but I do kind of agree with you, because, like, this is a controversial opinion. I think Earthbound's a little overrated. It's not bad by any stretch.
I would say that, too. Yeah.
It's just a little overrated.
I found the game was kind of tedious and kind of a chore to get through at times. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm happy I played it, but, like, it's nothing I think I'm ever going to go back to.
I'm kind of with you on that. There was a couple moments where it was, like, a chore for me as well, but, and you referenced it before, the writing is so good in that game. Like, it's just funny. Yeah, that's a really funny game. That's
driving me.
And then,
well, if I can sell you on Xenoblade with this, the writing in that game is great, the acting is great, and the cinematography and the cutscenes is like 10 out of 10 phenomenal.
I need to try this.
And the soundtrack is 20 out of 10.
Have you ever played Chrono Trigger?
I have never played that, and I know that's one I need to try, but...
That one I think you might enjoy because it's not generic RPG battle mechanics. It's a little bit different. I won't go into detail now since we're not, once again, we kind of went off topic, but,
whatever. What's the topic again?
I don't even know. It's gotta be, the Other M or something like that. That's what we're talking about, right? Right. Chrono Trigger, and you can actually get a pretty faithful, re-release of it for the DS if you don't want to shell out the money for the Super Nintendo or play it on an emulator.
Was that included on the Super Nintendo Classic?
Yes.
Because I have a Super Nintendo Classic, so if that's the case, I might have it on that.
I don't know. I'm looking at my box of the Super Nintendo Classic, but it's the front of it, so I can't read the back of it. But no, all right. So let's. I'm going to actually look that up while we're continuing to talk.
So let's go back to Smash 4.
Yeah, we should probably talk about Smash 4 and then move on to Ultimate because we're actually already at almost like probably about an hour-ish because I think we were talking for like 15, 20 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to leave this part in anyway. I don't edit a lot out. I will.
It's the exact opposite of me on YouTube. I edit everything.
Before we move on to Ultimate, is there any final thoughts on Smash 4?
Smash 4 felt to me a lot like Sakurai was trying, but his heart wasn't there. It feels soulless to me. And I understand a lot of work went into it, but I feel like some of the work was in the wrong place. Like one thing they did was Sakurai decided to try to readjust his stance on competitive play, and I really appreciate that. But then, like, he tried to make it up to the competitive players by saying, oh, you guys want a stage hazard toggle? We're going to add this new Omega mode where you can make any stage Final Destination. And that shows a very poor understanding of competitive play because Final Destination has never been the most balanced stage for competitive play.
Isn't Final Destination that completely flat one, though?
Yes, so it heavily favors projectile characters and characters with horizontal combos.
That is very true. What would be a more balanced stage?
Battlefield is probably the most balanced stage in Smash 4. I would argue Smashville was the most balanced stage in Brawl, the Animal Crossing stage.
Really?
And then, yeah. And then in Melee, oh, that's a hard one. I would say Yoshi's Story, but I'm also a Marth main, and Marth is really good on that stage, so.
All right. So let's move on then to the newest entry in the franchise, the one that just came out somewhat recently, a couple weeks ago. So, I think
it was just a week ago.
Was it really just a week ago? Yeah, it would have been a week ago today upon our recording. And it will be a little over a week upon release. So, what did you... I played a little bit of it. I played like 30, 40 minutes or probably more like an hour, including the party I went to. But you've told me you've already logged, what, 30 some odd hours in it?
Yeah, about 30-ish, probably a little more.
And what is your opinions of it so far?
It's too early for me to do an accurate judgment. I'm going to say, so far, my stance is, I think the versus mode for non-competitive play is probably the best it's ever been in terms of the physics, the feel, the flow. In terms of competitive play, I don't think the game's going to be very good for that because it definitely feels different from Smash 4, which I thought had very bad physics for competitive play. But my least favorite thing about Smash 4's physics engine was that they nerfed the directional influence system hardcore. And they kept that weaker directional influence system in Ultimate, which means combos are kind of just going to be the same couple flowchart moves again. And that really hurts my interest in the game competitively. So, And then outside of Versus, Ultimate is the worst Smash at everything it does.
Is the worst?
The single player content in Ultimate is horrible.
Really?
So they cut break the targets. They cut home run contest. They cut half the multi-man modes. They cut all-star. There's a mode in there called all-star, but it's just endless smash for multi-man. They cut events. They made into spirits, kind of. They cut the Smash Run mode from Smash 3DS, which is actually really cool and probably should have been brought back and revamped. The spirits mode is, like, super underwhelming. The challenges are so painfully easy in this game. There's no trophies to collect. It's just, outside of versus mode, there's not much there. Classic mode, though, is great. I'll give it that. That's probably the best classic mode's ever been, but everything else is probably the worst it's been. And if you can believe it, online is actually worse than Brawls.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand how Nintendo consistently still fucks up online. Like, it...
I don't either. They actually had it almost right in 4. In 4, it was, like, so close to being right with just a few big problems. And then in Ultimate, they went back on everything.
I just don't understand it. I can forgive the Wii for not being good online because, hell, even like Sony was feeling out the online thing by the end of the PS3 era. I mean, it had it on PS2. It came standard in PS3, but like they didn't quite have it down to what it is now until the end of the PS3 era. So I can forgive the Wii for not quite understanding, especially because the GameCube was the only one, I believe, in that generation that couldn't go online in some capacity.
It could, but the only games you could go online with were the
Phantasy Star Online. Yes, I just thought forgot about that. So there was, but it didn't really have like any online community or anything like that. Like you could at least get like some type of semblance of that with the PS2, with the, you know, Final Fantasy 11 was online, and obviously Xbox Live was huge on the original Xbox. And you know, 360 is really what kicked off the online craze, and Sony kind of learned from it towards the end. But so I can forgive Nintendo for not quite getting into the online game that early. Wii U should have been fine. I don't know how good or bad the online is on Wii U.
As someone who is very critical of the Wii U, I think it was one of the weakest consoles I own. I don't think the online was that bad. I don't think it was perfect, but for the most part, I think it was decent. It functioned.
That's good to know. So they improved it. And then the Switch, I don't know much more. I mean, I think it's great that their online is crazy cheap. I have nothing against that.
Online as a whole isn't bad. It's
just Smash.
It's Smash specifically. So the way 4 did online was when you went online, you could play with friends, which would let you play with your friends, and then with anyone. And then with anyone, there's two different menus, being 4 Fun and 4 Glory. 4 Fun was it would go to a random stage, items would be on, and be a 4-way free-for-all. 4 Glory would be the Omega stages only, which is a little unfortunate, but one-on-ones only and no items. And that was great that they had those separate modes. And then in Ultimate, they got rid of that.
And it's just all a hodgepodge at that point.
So what Ultimate does is you get to set your preferred rules. So I set mine. I want to do a stock battle. I want to do one-on-ones. I want to have no items. I want to be on battlefield stages. And it will, quote, attempt to pair you up with people with a similar preference to you. As far as I can tell, it makes no effort to do that. It just kind of pairs you up with people randomly.
That's great matchmaking there.
Yeah. Oh, and it's like, I know for a fact I'm not the only one in the world looking for a one-on-one. There was this great tweet by a competitive Smash player saying that Smash Ultimate's amazing. It's the only game in the world where you can have Mario, Cloud Strife, Sonic, and Pac-Man all playing on a Legend of Zelda stage with Pokeballs as items when all 4 players just want to do a one-on-one without items.
Can you turn off the items and everything, too?
Yes, normally, you can turn off items for...
Just not easily online, but like in a couch co-op type of thing, you can.
Oh yeah, you can turn off items for competitive play.
I don't know why they would take that away. I don't know why I was even worried about that. But
no, that would be a very Nintendo thing to take away.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I played a little bit of it, and from what I noticed of it, it felt kind of like a cross between Brawl and Melee in terms of the speed. Like it wasn't
as slow as Brawl.
But it definitely wasn't as fast as Melee.
It's not, and it unfortunately doesn't have like the on-the-fly combo system Melee had. But like, I mean, I can forgive it for that, because casually the game is great. The character roster is fantastic. Every single character's back, you know, and that's amazing.
And some of the new characters are really interesting, too.
Oh, yeah, we just got Joker from Persona 5.
Mm-hmm. It's weird to me that it's not just Nintendo anymore, but I'm glad that once they decided to not do that, they went like all out, and there's a bunch of like interesting characters.
Honestly, I don't think there's that many characters that Nintendo themselves really needs at this point to add. It's like the only big glaring omission, and this is memes aside, is Waluigi, I think.
Waluigi?
And I know a lot of people make, like, memes about him. A lot of people, like, reactionarily hate Waluigi because they hate the overabundance of memes. I'm just saying this as someone, like, serious, legitimate. No memes here. I really think it's kind of surprising he wasn't in the game.
No, I'm 100% with you. Once again, no, like, I don't actually, like, I'm barely on, like, I'm on the internet, you know, obviously because it's ingrained in all of our lives, but I'm never any places where I have to view memes, like, consistently at all. So, like, while any Waluigi memes have not been, like, overplayed for me, but, like, I just don't understand why he wouldn't be included just on the fact that he's been in the series for so long. He's been a main Nintendo character for so long. Well, not also main, but he's been a serious one.
Also the fact that for the last decade, I think he's probably been one of the most requested, if not the most requested character for the series. The thing that frustrates me, though, isn't so much that he's not in, but rather that we have another Mario character being a generic enemy, the Piranha Plant.
Yeah, why?
And a lot of people, again, they kind of reactionarily like the Piranha Plant because they see it as being like a middle finger to Waluigi supporters who they all just hate. And I don't think that's what it was intended to be at all. I don't like the idea of a generic enemy being in Smash, though. It's like, especially not when there's characters with actual names that people have been wanting to.
That'd be like putting a Goomba as a character you play as in Smash.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
And I don't, most people wouldn't. I don't understand it. Like, the Piranha Plant at least has a little bit more character, like in its design than a Goomba, but...
Well, here's the reason I think he's picked. The Piranha Plant is a pre-order bonus. Like, if you pre-order the game, you get him for free, and I don't know if he's available for people who didn't. If I had to make a guess, it was probably something like Sakurai's investors wanted him to have a pre-order bonus, and he wanted to make sure it was a character people wouldn't feel screwed out of not getting.
That's a very good point, and most likely that's probably what it was, because now everything, people, you know, they always have to have that incentive pre-order bonus, which I have no complaints of, but I do understand, like, if they're requiring it, that's kind of,
Yeah, so I guess that might be why they picked in the first place, but I still would rather it be a real character and not a generic enemy, so.
But what do you have anything else to say about Ultimate? I mean, like I said in the beginning of the episode, Smash, as much as I used to love Melee and Brawl, and I still kicking myself for not remembering all those specifics about Brawl. I forgot about the Home Run Derby until you just mentioned it. Wasn't there another thing? I mean, maybe this was the Home Run Derby, but is the Home Run Derby the thing where you have, like, that boxing bag that you hit with a baseball bat?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, okay. I remember, because you would have, like, what, 10 seconds to beat the shit out of it, and then you would wind up and see how far you could hit it.
Yeah, to do, like, the best combo you could, and then see how far you could hit at the end, which that got really crazy, too, if you want to get into, like, the world record territory for that, so...
That was, my friends and I would just spend hours playing that, just seeing how far we could get.
Again, that was the kind of thing where I'd just see my total score and be like, okay, how much higher can I move my combined score for the characters? And then I'd be like, so this character could probably get like a foot or two further, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just kind of like build up with that. And it's disappointing to me as a longtime hardcore Smash fan to see that Ultimate doesn't really have anything outside of the versus mode to offer.
Based off what you're telling me, I'm surprised how much they limited. They just cut back on all the extra game modes and just kept the basics, it seems like.
And I think they needed to do that because of how big the roster is. I mean, the game has 76 characters in it, so, and 103 stages or whatever.
I don't know. I'm sure they could have squeezed some. I mean, Nintendo, more than any other company, I've never seen a company that is able to compress their games into such small amount of space. Like,
I don't think it was storage. I think it was more time restrictions behind the scenes.
Well, they could have waited another year. No one would. The Switch is already out at that point. You might as well just wait another year and get it right. Or, I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping they do is they add some of these back as like add-on content. So,
More DLC type of thing.
I'd pay $5 to get Break the Targets and Home Run Contest. You know. There's enough content in the base game that I feel like $60 justified it.
Okay, well, that's at least good then.
Well, I mean, that's just for Versus Online. It's like, I'd pay more just to get the other modes in there, too. So,
But, all right. So, do you have any final thoughts on Ultimate before we just kind of wrap up with the series as a whole?
I don't really have much to say about it, because, like I said, I've only put about 30-ish hours into it.
I mean, that's still a lot more time than me.
I put 1,500 into both Melee and 4. I put 2,000 into Brawl. It's like, I have much more to say about those games than I do Ultimate, so. It hasn't been out long enough yet.
Nah, and that's why I'm happy I had you on. Like I said, once again, like, I didn't have a lot of chance to do research, and normally what I usually do is I'll play a game for at least like 2 to 3 hours prior to recording, but I couldn't really do that today or yesterday because I was at work for like freaking 15 hours. That's exhausting. But to kind of wrap this whole thing up, I just want to talk about the importance of the series as a whole. Like, we already kind of talked about how it was important for the assembling of characters, but I guess important not just in terms of the overall sense in game history and importance in game culture, but also importance in your own life, like nostalgically, and like what it means to you.
Brawl introduced me to so many games I never even would have heard of without it. And it's crazy to know what kind of impact those games have had on my life. Like, I had never heard of Fire Emblem before Brawl. I had never heard of Earthbound. I had never heard of Metal Gear Solid. I had heard of Metroid, but I didn't know anything about it. I had heard of Star Fox, I didn't know anything about it. The only games I knew going to Brawl were Mario, Pokemon, and Kirby, you know?
Mm-hmm. The mainstays.
And Zelda, Durf. I knew Zelda. But even then, I don't think I've really played much of it till Brawl. I got introduced to it through the music and character designs, so.
And I think that's really important to note that, like, these games, like, if Nintendo really wants to continue, like, selling their old catalog, these games are a really kind of good advertising vehicle for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I didn't know who NES was until Melee. Or was it even the original?
He was in the original.
I didn't know who Ness was. I mean, I played Melee the most, so I didn't play a lot on the original, but I had no idea who Ness was until Smash Brothers. I had no idea who Martha Roy was until Smash Brothers. And I still haven't played a Fire Emblem game, but I still intend to at some point. And a lot of it is also just like the fact that you hear, like, I didn't even know who Captain Falcon was until.
I don't think anyone knows who he is.
I mean, he's, if you really think about it, he's been in like only what, 2 or 3 games, and you see him in his car, you don't really see him.
I think it was 5 games.
Was it 5? Because I know there's the original one, then was there one on the N64?
There was one on N64, then there was one on
GameCube. I know there's one on GameCube.
Two on Game Boy.
Two on Game Boy. Okay.
So, maybe 3 on Game Boy.
But, like, you don't. Every other character you see outside of. Well, you see them. You don't really see Captain Falcon. You're just looking at his car the whole time. For those who don't know, he's part of the F-Zero series, just for. In case anyone's not aware. And even the F-Zero series, like that, I have the first one. It's a fun game still, even though it's like. I'm not normally a racing game fan, but I actually really like the F-Zero series.
I do too. It's very fun, very like high speed and stuff. So,
and for something that you could easily just say, all right, well, they're just putting a number for the speed. It could be anything, but like you feel the speed on that. Like it really, even on the Super Nintendo, it feels fast.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah.
But all right. We already kind of touched about the history before, like I said. And any last things before we wrap? Kind of do our outro for this. Like any last things about the nostalgic value of this series?
Who do you main?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have one per se. If I had to pick one, it'd be Link. I would always do his, like, I always like his down A's and up A's because, you know, like either stabbing down or poking people in the butt up.
The thrusts from Zelda too, the up and down thrusts.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about like the actual Princess Zelda?
No, that's from his up and down air moves are from Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Yes. That's one of the few games, Zelda games. I actually own that game. Have not played it once again.
It was in my top 5 Zeldas until Breath of the Wild knocked it out. So,
really, the one that most people don't like, Zelda 2. Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Zelda 2 is bad at being a Zelda game, but it's still a good game. It just it's an action platform that has nothing to do with the Zelda series, but it's good for what it is.
I always thought it was interesting from what I saw of it, just for the fact that it had like RPG elements into it, and it was very, like, you know, you're not expecting that.
Yeah, no, I think it's better than the first Zelda. I actually think the first Zelda is probably the worst one. So,
You actually what with the first one?
I think the first Zelda is probably the weakest one in the series.
I disagree, but I also haven't played every one in the series, so I can't say for certainty just yet. Like, my opinion's not 100% fully formed just yet, so.
My issue with it is I feel like there's too much of a just what am I supposed to do, and it comes off more tedious than fun to me, so.
I also wonder how much of that are we supposed to be reading the manual, because remember a lot of those old games,
yes,
you're actually supposed to read the manual before playing.
I would put the first Zelda as a game that, like, it's a product of the mid-80s gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it holds up today in that sense.
I agree and disagree. I actually was playing through it with a friend of mine, and we were actually having a ton of fun, like, passing off the controller with switching dungeons, but that also could have been the fun part, could have just been hanging out, so who knows.
Well, let me put it this way. I wouldn't play it a lot. My issue is that, like, one of the dungeons just, like, in a tree. You're just supposed to know you have to burn down.
Yeah, there's just... old NES secret. Same thing with, like, what is it, Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, where you have to...
Yeah, I don't like games like that.
Where you have to just arbitrarily guess something.
Yeah, I don't like games like that, because it's like, if you don't already know what to do, you're not going to be able to figure out what to do.
And as a kid, it probably wouldn't have made as much of a difference, because you have all that time.
No, because as a kid, you have infinite time just mess around with that, but, like, I don't have that time now, so...
No, being an adult sucks.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so to wrap all this up, I want to thank you all for listening once again. This was a really fun episode for me, actually. Like, I learned a lot more about the Smash series than I ever thought I would. You were fantastic. So thank you, Ben, for coming on and just talking with me about this game or the series.
Am I allowed to plug my YouTube channel?
Of course. I was going to ask what plugs do you got.
Awesome. So if you want to hear more of my beautiful, sexy voice, you can find me on YouTube under the name Fabulous Fish. That is fish spelled G-H-O-T-I. So it's kind of hard to remember, but...
I'll make sure to write it down in the notes. And isn't Fabulous spelled differently as well?
Yes, it's also spelled with a G-H, but just a G-H instead of an F, and other than that, it's the same.
Okay, so that's easy. So Fabulous with a G-H and 7-F, and Fish as in G-H-O-T-I.
Yes.
Where did you get the name for that? I believe you described it on your description on the channel, but, like, where did that come from?
My 8th grade English teacher wrote that on the board as a demonstration of how English has a lot of silly arbitrary rules, and she broke down how you explain it. And that was in 2010, and I have remembered that since. It has become part of my identity.
No, it's going to stick with people, that's for damn sure.
I'm friends with her on Facebook. I should let her know I'm still using it.
That's awesome. I always like to talk to people about, like, how weird English is too. Like, I know this is completely random and not related to the wrap-ups, but, like, the fact that, like, you can, like, buffalo, I forget how many times. You say buffalo, like, six
eight.
Times. It's like, okay, eight times, and it's an actual complete sentence, because buffalo can be a verb, a noun, an adverb, and all this other shit. That's just, it's insane. So welcome to the English language.
Fun language.
But all right, so for my plugs, I want to plug the network I'm newly a part of, the Podbeard Network. Go check out all the amazing shows on the network. You have the flagship show, The Hotter Show. So if you like indie music reviews, specifically indie music from Canada, definitely check it out. Also check out Two Guys in a Game, a great gaming show on the network. Mics and Beers, it's their monthly show. They just kind of hang out and bullshit with some mics and beers, so they're go check that out. The new addition to the channel, Boystick on YouTube. Also Dark Runner Gaming on Twitch. I believe Honestly Lazy Show on YouTube. I don't know how I remember all these. And then also for some personal friends of the show, my friend Erica over at the Apex in the Abyss, an amazing true crime podcast. Definitely give that a listen to if you like true crime stuff. Drinks with Larry, bunch of comedians drinking, having fun. They're funny guys. Definitely give them a listen. No Geeks Allowed. That's K-N-O-W. No Geeks Allowed. They're also a really good podcast. I did my most recent episode prior to this was with them on the Super Mario Bros. Movie. So if you want to hear us making fun of that movie like everyone else on the internet, go give that a listen to. Hear our interpretations of it. I feel like I'm forgetting someone. Oh, new podcast that I've been, well, not new, but like new to me. I've shouted them out a couple times on the show, but Super Mercado Bros, if you like video game music and like kind of like a more analytical version, look at it, because they're all the two brothers on it, the Brueggemann brothers, they are actual composers, so they talk about music theory and how the songs actually work, and they speak to it in that capacity. That was a mess of a sentence. not editing that out. And also the Singing Mountain podcast. That's a really good, another really good video game music podcast. Give that a listen to. And also the Frame Savers, video game speedrunning podcast that I've really enjoyed. So
I didn't know I'd get that many shout outs. Do I get any other plugs?
Dude, you can plug whatever you want. If you have other plugs, go for it.
I just want, if you guys like graphic novels and high school comedies, check out Katatui 101 over on Instagram and DeviantArt. She's working on one that hoping to have a release in the next year or so. So you can check out all the concept art there.
Excellent, excellent. And our personal social medias. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them.
Follow me on Twitter at FabulousFish.
Once again, spelled the way he described it earlier. So
yeah,
listen back if you forget. I don't feel like saying
it
again.
Have fun, bitches.
And that should wrap it all up. So once again, Ben, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And I will see you all next time. Oh,